Would you turn to Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18. We'll read verses 21 through 35. This section starts out with a question posed by Simon Peter to Jesus, our Lord. And then the remainder of the verses are Jesus' response to Simon Peter's question. It's a question that you're familiar with. You've read it before. You've heard it. I'm sure it's familiar. May God, though, open it up to us afresh and anew this morning by His Holy Spirit and teach you and me additional things from His Word. Refresh us with new thoughts, new learning from the Word of God. Matthew 18, 21. The Word of God says, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." If I read that correctly, brethren, that's the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. The King James Version, a parable of Jesus in response to Simon Peter's question about how many times am I required to forgive my brother. God add His blessing to the reading of it, and now may He bless me to preach the word to you and to myself. Let's pray, brethren, to that end. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege to be in your house today. Thank you for giving us life, for waking us up this morning and giving us strength to be here, physical strength we need to get here, and for putting the desire in our hearts to be in this place, in this hour. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us from our sins. Thank you for rebirthing us, regenerating us. We acknowledge, Lord, that we love you because you first loved us. We thank you for your unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus. Father, thank you for your written word. May we delve into it now by the help of the Holy Spirit and by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Send, we pray, your Spirit
that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that you're an unchangeable God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, that you love us and you've loved us with an everlasting love. We praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for the singing of the hymns this morning, the truths that are contained in them, and that we could praise you and make a joyful noise unto you. Thank you for the choir that sings to us to your honor and glory and to our blessing. Thank you for that. Thank you for Sister Jane that plays the piano to accompany them and us as we sing. Father, bless this service. Get honor and glory from it. And now, Lord, that we've given thanks and tried to praise you, we petition you, Lord. We ask you that you would help those in special need. Brother Andy and Brother Victor's family and their loss, their loved one that's now in the hospital, we pray for them. We pray for Brother Ralph. We pray for his mom, that you would help her and spare her if it could be your will. Bless Brother Ralph as he goes for the test. Help him. And bless all that are mentioned here today. We thank you that you're the great physician, that you're kind and loving Heavenly Father. And we pray your blessing upon these that are in special need. And we just sang, Lord, we confess, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. We need you, and we ask that you bless, Lord. Bless me to preach your word, I pray, in demonstration of your Holy Spirit and power. Instruct us now, we pray, in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. The words of Jesus, there are three in that last verse I read. They're not in this order, but he says, forgive their trespasses. And that's the title of this lesson today. Forgive their trespasses. I repeated the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes I prayed it, but mostly repeated it when I was a boy. I memorized it. The church I attended, one of the things we did was we prayed the Lord's Prayer at the end of Bible study. I think it was each Sunday morning. And I think they still do that. Sometimes I pray it. Sometimes I just repeat it. You know what I mean. And there's a phrase in there that says, forgive us our trespasses or our debts as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know, I think I was grown before I came to be taught what that means and the seriousness of that. And I understand it to mean, God, please forgive me like I forgive my brethren. That's a dangerous thing to pray. Did you know that? With me it is. So I want to preach to you this morning about forgiveness. I want to tell you that I don't know about any of y'all being mad with each other. I have no clue about that. But I know that I get mad with people sometimes, and I need, and we're commanded to forgive one another. So nobody's urged me or prompted me to pick this out. I was reading it because I've been reading through Matthew of the last few weeks, and I came to this earlier in the week. I think it was earlier this week, and it stuck with me and seemed to stand out with me, and I've enjoyed studying it, and I've been convicted in my own heart by this lesson. And I want you, please, to always remember that I'm preaching to me up here. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to me also. I need the lesson as much, if not more, than any of you. Matthew 18, chapter 21, verse 21, Peter asks a question of Jesus. And I've noticed in my church-going days, I've noticed that in these, usually it's just these two verses, at least in my experience, that are spoken about and not the following verses. But really, brethren, Jesus gives this parable beginning in verse 23 as a continued response to Peter's question. It flows together. And Peter asked the question, I believe he asked the question that's recorded as verse 21 as a result of what Jesus said further up the page. Verse 15, Jesus is speaking about, he says, if your brother trespasses against you, you go and tell him the fault and tell him alone. Keep it between you and your brother. Well, brethren, when it says your brother, Jesus is talking about, I believe, he is talking about not the world out there that's going to trespass against us, because the world will trespass against you. But in this context here, I believe Jesus is talking about a brother like me and Brother Raph. If he were to offend me, and he hasn't, but if he were to, my obligation is, if I get my feelings hurt and or if I've been wronged, then I need to go to Brother Raph. I don't need to go to Sister Linda and tell on him. I don't need to do that. I need to go to Brother Raph. And it just needs to be us right there. And I need to come in love, and I need to tell him what he did. And chances are he won't even know it. He would have had not even had a clue that he did it. I may be oversensitive or something, but it may be a genuine thing that he needs to hear. And brothers, we need to get right, me and Brother Raph and I. And if we do, nobody else really needs to know about it. What they need to see is, man, Brother Raph and Brother Mike, they love one another, don't they? They sure do. They love one another in the Lord. And that's the teaching here that Jesus gave. And you can read it, and it's the teaching about how to settle little tiffs like that in the body of Christ. It may be in the local church. It may be between somebody in this church and another church. It may be the church at large, you and another Christian brother. It may be, I think it all applies. And then when Jesus teaches that, brethren, Peter comes to him. Simon Peter, bold Peter, the one who often spoke a lot of times, I think, before he thought. He was a rambunctious fellow. He was strong in spirit. He's the one that told Jesus, though everyone denies you, I'll never deny you. You know, that's him. That's Simon Peter. But brethren, and he messed up, and we mess up. But he would later, brethren, become converted, and he would strengthen the brethren. He wrote two letters here, the two epistles, they're recorded. That's how great a man he was. But he was a man, and he was a man. And so after Jesus, brethren, teaches about how to repair a damaged relationship and how to forgive one another, Simon comes to him in verse 21 and says, how many times, Lord, do I have to do that? Has God ever commanded you to do something? And you say, well, when do I have to do it? When can we get this over? Simon Peter says, how often? And he says, till seven times? I don't know if he meant the actual number seven or if he meant the completeness. I don't know. There's a lot of study about the number seven. But I think that Simon Peter really wanted, if you do it this many times and it happens again, you're off the hook. I think that's what Peter wanted. I think. It's my thought. But Jesus says to him, no, Simon, no. I don't say to you seven times. I say not unto thee until seven times. But Jesus says until 70 times seven. And that's 490, isn't it? I think I'm doing that in my head. And Jesus didn't mean 490 times. He means to do it, just do it and keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. And right there, and that's a good lesson, and that's a wonderful lesson right there. And often, as I said earlier, often when I've heard it read or studied or taught or preached, the person doing the teaching and preaching kind of stops there. But brethren, look what follows. Jesus says, therefore. I have a cousin. I might have shared this with you. A cousin who's a preacher. And he says this, whenever you come to a therefore, read up above that and see what it's there for. See what came before that. Because when he says therefore, he's saying, so we're continuing on. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to pause there, brethren. Jesus starts teaching about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus is not talking to Simon Peter about what's going to happen when he dies and goes to the eternal heaven. His passport being the shed blood of Jesus Christ into the eternal heaven. Jesus starts talking to Peter about how to enjoy the spiritual blessings of the kingdom of heaven right now. Jesus, right on the heels of this, about what happens when you get into it with your brother or sister in Christ, Jesus says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like this. In other words, Simon Peter, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
The kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom. It's here. It's here. It's here on this earth. It's righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. It's doing right. It's being joyful in the Lord. It's having peace that passes all understanding. That's part of the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus starts talking to Peter about it. He says, Peter, the kingdom of heaven is like this. It's like a certain king who would take account of his servants. Every kingdom has a king. The kingdom of heaven has a king, brethren. It can be God the Father or it can be Jesus. There's all kinds of ways to look at it. But it's God, the King of Kings. This king would take account of his servants, citizens of the kingdom, servants, bought and paid for servants. Did you know, brethren, you're a citizen of the kingdom because Christ died for you and it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom? You have entry into the kingdom of heaven by the fact of that you're a child of God, but you've got to be obedient to enter and enjoy that spiritual kingdom. You got to be obedient. I'm going to enjoy the eternal heaven for eternity when I die, and that's based on the works of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Grace, the shed blood of Jesus, and that alone. But brethren, I can enjoy the fruits of, the pleasures of, the blessings of the kingdom of heaven here on earth by my own works. I have to press into it. I have to press out of my life those things that are in the broad way, and I have to enter in the narrow way. So Jesus says, Simon Peter, it's like this. The king would take account of his servants. And Brother Ralph said earlier, he said, he was talking about somebody that got called up, that got called in to be take account of. The king takes account of his servants from time to time. Does the Holy Spirit ever take account of you? Does God, by the way, by the person, by the method of the Holy Spirit, ever take account of you? He does me, and I'm glad He does. That Holy Spirit will say, whoa, where are you going? What are you looking at here? Are you serving me or are you serving yourself? Are you serving the world? Wait a minute now. Let's look at this thing. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Does your Bible have anything in the margin about the value of the dollar amount of that? Mine doesn't. And I did some reading on it, and it's unknown the dollar amount here. This man was in debt to the king, this servant. Your Bible may have a figure, and I won't argue with it. But the main thing is this. It was an insurmountable figure. It was a figure that the man had no way he could pay it. It would be like me trying to pay the debt of the U.S. of A. It's several trillion dollars, isn't it? You know, it's like that. It's like me being called in and say, hey, Devane, you owe the national debt. Let's have it. You know, what can I do? I said, sorry, I can't do it. I'm insolvent. I'd be bankrupt. I can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah. So the point is here, the point is this man was in debt to the point that he had no way he could pay this. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold. The Lord says, okay, the king says, okay, all right, we'll sell you. You're worth a little something. I'll get something out of you. And by the way, I'm going to sell your wife too and your children and everything you have. And I'll just take that. Cents on the dollar. I'll take that. I was a lawyer in my secular job at one time, and we used to settle cases for cents on the dollar sometimes. You know what that means. You owe $10,000. Well, we'll take $1,000. We'll take that. You know, that sometimes that's what you do. And I think that's what the king says here. Okay, I'll just sell you and we'll take cents on the dollar. You can't. I own you. You're paid for by me. And so we'll just get what we can out of you. The servant falls down, which is what I would do. I would hit the floor, brethren. The servant fell down. And it says, worshiped him, that means he begs him, he petitions the Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. But please remember those words, brethren, because they're going to show up in verse 29 too. The identical words in a different situation. This servant who was in debt and had no way of paying that debt says, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. It's a parable. It's a parable of Jesus. But don't you know that that man in the parable was just pleading his heart out? I mean, you could hear it in his voice. You could see it in maybe the tears. You could see it in his position. He's down on the floor. He's begging, brethren. He's begging. Because he has nothing to pay. He can't pay this debt. The Lord is moved with compassion and looses him and forgives the debt. Forgives the debt. You know, if someone owes you money, you can forgive the debt. You can do it. I've forgiven debts. It was to my children. I don't think anybody's ever borrowed money. I don't think I've ever forgiven a debt from anybody that owes me money outside the family, if that's ever happened. My daughter owes me money now. She pays me every month. Bless her heart. And I let her pay me because it's good for her to do that. She borrowed money. It's good for her to pay me back. But sometimes I just forgive the debt. You can do that. The debt's forgiven. You can do it. Someone owes you that. And this Lord did that, brethren, for this servant. Do you see the picture that Jesus is painting here? Do you see yourself? Do you see yourself on the floor, on the ground, before God, a sinner, born in sin, and committing sin, and God calls you in, like Brother Ralph mentioned this morning, and says, let's take account of you right here. What's your life? You owe, because I'm a holy God. I'm holy, holy, holy. And you're a sinner, born in sin, and you commit sin. Now what are you going to do about that? You know the hymn, Rock of Ages? I think it's Rock of Ages. It says, could my zeal no respite, no. If I had zeal that wouldn't quit, could my tears, my sorrow for my sin forever flow? If I cried every day, 24 hours a day over my sin, did you know that that doesn't make the payment? That won't solve, that won't erase one sin. That won't pay one sin that you've ever committed. But what paid for your sin, you know what paid for it, don't you? Was the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ paid, satisfied the debt. He paid it. He paid it. He paid us out of debt, brethren. That's why you're a servant. That's why, brethren, you love God, because He first loved you and He saved you from your sins. And the Lord had pity on us and He's forgiven us that debt. That is cause for joy unspeakable. That's cause for praise unceasing. That's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to His people. The debt is paid. Nothing in my hand I bring, no payment that I can give. My righteousness is as filthy rags, and so is yours. Not to try to offend you, but it just is. It's what the Word of God says. Simply to thy cross I cling. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Okay, so there, brethren, is that servant, and there's you, and there's me. We've been forgiven. The debt is paid. Now the parable continues. Watch this. That same servant that was forgiven all that, verse 28, he went out, and he found one of his fellow servants, another brother in Christ, another sister in Christ, which owed him 100 pence. Now, your Bible may have a dollar figure in the margin there. I won't argue with it. But it's something that we all could pay. I think it's $100 or 100 and something. I don't know. It's less. It's something that every one of us, if somebody came to us and said, you owe this right now, we need it, you could come up with it. You might or might not have it on you, but you could get it. You can pay it. It's within your power to pay it. This servant goes out and finds this fellow servant that owes him 100 pence, and he demands payment. Not only does he demand it with his words, he grabs the person by the collar or the throat, and he's like choking him,
saying, I want my money. Pay me right now. Verse 29, the fellow servant, does this sound familiar? Fell down at his feet, besought him, said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same petition that this forgiven servant made to his Lord in verse 26. Same words. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the forgiven servant, verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison, the debtor's prison. We don't know anything about debtor's prisons in this country. We read about them. They had them in Europe in days gone by. They were awful. Debtor's prisons. He put him in prison till he should pay. Put him right in prison. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants, brethren, your fellow servants, we know what each other's up to generally. We know it. We know when somebody's doing wrong and doing right. The fellow servants, they saw what was done. They see. They saw what was done. They were very sorry. They were sad. And came and told their Lord all that was done. Did God need to be told that? Did he not know it? God doesn't learn anything, brethren. He knows it all already. But they came and put it out before their Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. They brought it before the Lord and laid it out before Him. What was the reaction of the Lord? Then he got called in. There it is, Brother Ralph. He got called in. That forgiven servant, he got called in. The Lord said, you wicked servant, I forgave you. I forgave you because you asked me to. I forgave that insurmountable debt. Shouldn't you, verse 33, shouldn't you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And there's the question, isn't it, of the hour. Shouldn't we treat others like God's treated us? What's wrong with that? Nothing. What's right with it? Everything. Forgiveness, brethren, is not an easy thing to do. It isn't for me. I don't know if it is for you or not. If I'm wronged, I am quick to judge. I mean, I'm quick. And I want my rights. I want them. But if I wrong the Lord, if I wrong you, I want mercy is what I want. What's unfair about me being treated like the Lord treating me like I treat you? I think not much is wrong with that, but I surely don't want to be treated. If I don't forgive you, then stands to reason, why should God forgive me? Now we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about timely things right now. Time. Tick tock. The minutes and hours that we live. Time. We're not talking about eternity in heaven. I'm going to be there. Whether I forgive you or not, I'm going to be there because Christ has forgiven me. But there's a different story about how I might be treated by the good Lord as I live here if I don't forgive you. Because I even pray it sometimes. I say, Lord, forgive me like I forgive Brother Andy. Brother Andy, if you ever wronged me and you haven't, I sure hope I forgive you, brother. Because I'm praying. I'm praying. God, forgive me like I forgive Brother Andy. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors that he should pay all that was due unto him, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, this can get a little tricky, brethren, because it's talking about forgiveness, and this man had been forgiven. He was a servant, a child of God, and God says, I'm going to deliver you over to the tormentors. Let me say to you, you cannot. This forgiven servant, once forgiven, he's always forgiven in an eternal sense. God's not going to say, oh, I forgave you and Christ died for you, but you're not going to make it into heaven. I changed my mind. God doesn't do that. The eternal forgiveness doesn't work like that. When you're forgiven, brother, you're forgiven. But we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. We're talking about this life right here. And brothers, if I don't forgive you, then God's not going to forgive me. There's no way I can enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of heaven if I've got a grudge on my back toward you. If I'm unforgiving, if I'm mad at you, then I simply can't enjoy it. Jesus says, because the kingdom of heaven is like this. You got to forgive one another. You got to do other things too, but today we're talking about forgiveness. But this is one of the things that'll keep you out of enjoying the blessings of God's kingdom while you live here. Jesus says in verse 35, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye," that's you and me, "if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Now, I said at the beginning, I'm not aware of anybody in here that's mad at anybody else, but I know my nature and I know human nature. So, brothers, there it is right there, brothers and sisters, there it is. If you want to enjoy the blessings of God, if you want to enter into that spiritual kingdom and be happy with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you can't go in dragging a grudge against somebody. You can't do it. You can't get in. Sorry. No entry. Not permitted. So, as I read this, I knew this week before I read it, but it came back to me again and afresh. And I had to think back and search my mind, and it wasn't all that hard. I had to think a minute, and I said, yep, I'm still mad at so-and-so about what he did. I'm mad about that. So, you know, if I could just give it up, I don't know that I would have to go to him and say, hey, brother, let's talk about this, if I could just give it up. But I have trouble doing that. So what I need to do is go find that brother and say, look, I'm mad about something. You may not even know it, but I need to talk to you about it. And when I get through talking, I'm going to forgive you. You may not even think you did anything wrong, but I'm forgiving you. And you can't stop me from forgiving you. And I'm going to forget it. And I'm going on. I'm going on. Because I've been dragging this weight around, this ball and chain, a long time, and I'm ready to drop it. It's so easy. I thought about this, brethren. Isn't it easy to get mad and say, well, I'm mad about this, and just go away? But the longer you carry that weight, the longer I do, the heavier it gets. It's so easy to pick it up, snatch it up, and put it on your back like a backpack. But the more I carry the thing, the longer, the heavier the thing gets. And it's good to shed that weight. And this is the way to do it right here. So in closing, brethren, don't let this happen to you. Every scripture is given by inspiration of God. These are the words of Jesus, so certainly they're inspired and they're profitable to us for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Man, that covers it, brethren. That covers it. This scripture right here is profitable to us, and may I and may you profit by it. You and I, we sinned. God forgave our sins. We were indebted to God, and we had not 10,000 talents in debt and not a penny to pay. You've heard that expression probably. We owed that debt. Jesus paid it. It's forgiven. So, brethren, when someone offends you somehow, do the same. Forgive them. Forgive them. And you'll enjoy the blessings of God's kingdom while you live here. And if you don't, you can't. Our Father in heaven, teach us by your word and by your spirit. Let what I've said be acceptable in your sight. I pray. Let it be glorifying to you. Let it be instructing to me and to all of us here. Teach us to love one another. May these words sink into our minds and hearts. May we have the recall of them. May we turn to that passage and read it again and again and then put it into practice. May we do that. We love you, Lord. May we love one another as Christ has loved us and given himself for us. Grant us that grace, we pray, and the joy that follows that. May we rejoice in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
the one who paid our debt for us. We pray that. May we follow His example. In His name we pray, that name above every name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, brethren. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and let you know that God loves you and that Jesus died for you and you want to serve Him here in this place, you have the opportunity right now. As we stand and sing this hymn, just come forward and make your request known.